on this Mother's Day and through the lens of Christ's Easter victory over the cross, we are once again given the opportunity to proclaim that God's divine will and divine love cannot be destroyed. Our series, Turning the World Upside Down, is framed by the Acts 2 church. And last week's passage invited us to witness day by day as they spent time together in the temple, how the people of the way broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, how they praised God in having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Last week, we witnessed the early church and how they devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers. And we, as the church today, in the midst of pandemic chaos, experienced a great joy, and we were reminded as followers of Jesus Christ to take it one day at a time. But this week we find ourselves knee-deep in a very challenging passage. It is one of those passages where, if available, I most likely would have chosen the alternate lectionary text, or in simpler terms, door number two. At this point in history, the church begins with an explosion and continues to see a great deal of growth. But within the context of our passage, as the early church continued to grow in number, in the first verses of Acts 6, we are abruptly introduced to Stephen. Stephen is well known as one of the first martyrs, and when translated, is defined as a witness. Stephen is one of the men chosen to oversee the equitable distribution of food to the needy and the widows. He was a witness to the faith. But as we move through chapter 7, Luke writes, the word of God continues to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The text continues on, and Stephen is full of grace and power. He did great wonders and signs among the people. And as you know, our narrative this morning is boldly told in its thematically rich and straightforward way, because there's no sugarcoating this passage, that Stephen, a man who was in charge of food distribution, a man who became obedient to the faith, a man who did great wonders and signs among the people, was in the midst of chaos. I have a little bit of homework for you to do. I would like for you to go back and read sometime this week, for the first time or maybe the 10th time, Acts chapter 6 and 7, and revisit how Stephen was on trial for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to read how he was bold and filled with the Holy Spirit, how it was evident that there was a growing tension against this new and different community of faith, and finally how, in the midst of chaos, he prayed to God, similar to how Jesus prayed from the cross. Many of us know what it's like to be rejected, not to the point of death, but when we share our faith, We have heard stories of those in other countries who have, yes, been martyred for their faith. But today, this morning, on Mother's Day, we're going to hover over just one verse. You thought I was going to concentrate on Stephen, right? No. We're going to hover over the verse that frames today's text. It tears at the hearts of those who follow Christ. It is pertinent to where we stand in these moments, and in my humble opinion, deserves an even deeper attention than Stephen. Because our world, our community, our nation, our neighbors would be in a much better place without verse 57. Verse 57 says to us, "But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him." Again, I want you for a moment to imagine without this verse, maybe, just maybe, we would not be living in the moments that we are living in today. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together. Personally, I had to sit and read this verse over and over and over again. It tells its own story of what happens when the religious, and I say this loosely and with air quotes, the religious, not the atheists, but the religious, are faced with great change, being catapulted into something different. And this may sound familiar from my sermon last week, where relying on old habits or on old familiar ways to carry us through without thinking about it may no longer be an option. Church, this morning we are faced with what it means to stand up for something that we believe in. Remember on the walk to Emmaus where Pastor Ashley talked about the disciples' eyes were closed until they broke bread with Jesus Christ. They had heard his voice, they had dialogued with him, but they did not recognize him. And now we are in a passage where they, the crowd, the mob, the people, the religious, see humanity before them, and yet they cover their ears, shout together to drown out any additional noise, and they begin to rush together towards Stephen. I am reminded as a mother, as an aunt, as a sister, a neighbor, a stranger in the supermarket, when I see a child who does not want to listen, who does not want to hear what is being said, he or she sticks their fingers in their ears and begin to cry. Or even as an adult, and I'm guilty of this, doing this with my friends over lunch when she or he is about to reveal to me a plot of a movie that they know I have not seen. You know how I am about my movies. I will put my fingers in my ears, or I will cup my ears, and I will say the la, 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 la until they stop talking. You all understand where I'm coming from. We, and I generalize when I say we, are intent on purchasing noise-canceling earbuds, headsets, and headphones to drown out distractions so we can focus on self. In the midst of chaos, the chaos of relying on old habits and familiar ways, instead of opening our eyes, instead of them opening their eyes to Jesus Christ in a new way, they covered their ears and with a loud shout, all rushed together. See, they were the religious people who liked to brag that they were chosen by God. They were the religious people who boasted how they were keepers of the law given by Moses. They were the religious people who secretly instigated men to falsely accuse Stephen, leading him into trial and ultimately to his death. They, like so many people who claim to be children of God, accept God only when it suits their own purpose. They covered their ears. And with a loud shout, they all rushed together. I've received emails and Facebook messages. I've seen the posts that you forwarded to me. I've seen the messages from my colleagues and their wives. And like so many of you, I am concerned as religious people. And again, I say this loosely, because we're called to be the church outside of the church building, that in so many ways we are like the kid in the supermarket. We're standing in the middle of the aisle, hands cupped over our ears, like the adult who does not want to hear what's about to be revealed, or like those noise-canceling headphones that we as the church are covering our ears and with a loud shout, do nothing. Covering our ears when it comes to waiting to return back to the church building, even as our most vulnerable are encouraged to stay away. Covering our ears on a daily basis, and to be quite honest, we seem to be doing it much, much more. Covering our ears as we flip through channels, skim past news articles, and live as people who are not affected by what is happening in Brunswick, Georgia, as we finally hear about the senseless murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Covering our ears as we hear about the suffering that continues to happen in New York City and Puerto Rico. Covering our ears to the fires that are happening in the panhandle. I have to admit, I continue to repeat myself over and over and over again. But Prince, the artist, says that there is joy in repetition. This test message is for us, for you, and for me, for those who believe in the resurrection. Our church building may be closed, but now is not the time to cover our ears and with a loud shout, do nothing. As we witness in our text this morning, I challenge you with this question. In the midst of this pandemic chaos, what will you stand for? I ask you this question. How will you bear witness to God's love? I continue to ask this question. How will you bear witness to an injustice? How will you bear witness to a God who has transformed your life? One day I was having lunch with a professor friend of mine. As you can tell, I love to dialogue over lunch. When we finished, she left a very hefty and generous tip. We sat and continued to talk. And I asked if she happened to be waiting for change, and she said no. She must have recognized my curiosity because this tip was quite generous. And she said to me, my mother was a waitress, and her tips helped pay for my college. And regardless of the service I receive, I leave a generous tip. I leave that tip because tips like these helped my family. It helped on the days my mother was so tired, all she could do was sleep, and she received her tips anyway. It helped me to have a better life. So every time I have an opportunity to give a tip, I bear witness to not only to her story, but also to the God who loves me no matter what kind of service I give. In the midst of chaos, what will you stand for? Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and bore witness to power and grace. He bore witness to injustice and mistreatment. He bore witness to the painstaking truth of a gracious God who pours out gifts across our world to a people who reject him over and over and over again. But God continues to shower us with his love, with his grace, with his forgiveness. What will you do in the midst of this pandemic, this chaos? What will you stand for? He bore witness, even though they covered their ears with a loud shout and rush together. Gary Neil Hansen writes, "If we think of Christian faith primarily as doctrine or behavior, we may not be looking for the traces of God's providence guiding us, or for the work of the Holy Spirit in reshaping our lives. If we expect the risen Christ to be at work in our character and our circumstances and beyond us in society and the world, we must see signs of grace, signs of judgment or healing, signs of justice. And by telling others what we experience and see of Jesus' work bears witness to how we live in faith and faithfulness. And our actions will testify to Jesus as well. What will you stand for in the midst of chaos? Will you write letters to politicians over policies of injustice? Will you serve the marginalized? Will you volunteer and teach the children? Will you send an encouraging word to someone whom you know is parenting alone today? Will you consistently wear your masks and physically distance? Will you protect the vulnerable? Will you share the good news of Christ, planting seeds so people like Saul in our passage will hear? Will you allow the grace of God and the movement of the Holy Spirit to guide you day by day, to open your eyes and uncover your ears? And will you witness and see God's pouring out of gifts of love, of justice, of grace, of healing, of peace, of service and generosity, our voices, and much, much more? Church, we are in a position to turn this world upside down. Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Will you stand in the midst of this chaos for someone who needs you at this moment? Will you stand like Jesus has stood for all of us all the days of our lives? Jesus Jesus has been standing with you. Jesus has been walking with you. I need for you to hear these words. Jesus has not left, nor will Jesus forsake you. So this morning, in the midst of the chaos that is swirling around us, how are you standing for Christ? Are you cupping your ears and blocking out distractions, the distractions we are called to pay attention to as children of God? Are you standing like Saul, enabling the hurt and harm? Are you standing for and with Christ, who stood with and for you first? Are you standing for those who cannot stand for themselves? Are you standing out of love and grace for God, who hurts along with us? A God who shows us the way, day by day, one day at a time, leading and guiding us. How will you stand in the midst of this chaos? And who will you stand for? Look, Stephen said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. See the glory of God as you stand in the name of Jesus Christ, as you stand for injustice, as you stand for peace and love and forgiveness, as you stand for your neighbor. What happens to those in our world happen to us. So how will you stand in the midst of this chaos? I pray, like me, you stand with Christ, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.